Let me tell you about a man that I have met.
Hey.
They call him Captain, or Wizard, don't forget.
A Wizard.
CJ Morgan's his name, and he wanted to start a show.
Hey, what do you know? It's a cowboy version of me.
Now you're listening to him on that dang old radio.
Our podcast.
Hey.
Did you know by shutting up I could save my own life?
I'm interested.
Huh? Yeah, not by talking crap anymore or yelling at people when I'm drunk. But no, there's a new trend called speech fasting we've heard of.
What?
Eating and fasting and whatnot. But now speech fasting. It's basically not talking until noon. And this is something very similar to what I used to do when I was working in the office a lot more than from home or in the studio. I really used to have trouble talking in the morning. Like, I just didn't want to talk, and then it almost felt like that sleep paralysis thing where my girlfriend would get mad at me because I'd just be like, meh, meh, and I'd, like, grunt and point. I just didn't want to talk, and I'd come to work, and I wouldn't want to talk, and it felt good and relaxing to not talk. Well, it turns out it actually has beneficial things to it. Speech fasting, it can lower your blood pressure.
Hell yeah.
It can help ease stress. It can also help protect your voice, your vocal cords, your throat, your nose, all that, and reduce inflammation.
And they're basically just saying if you don't interact with anybody for most of the day, you're calmer. That sounds accurate.
Well, you can still interact. You know what? That might be right.
Gotta hold up a cardboard sign. You know?
Yeah, I gotta figure out the causation and correlation, because also, here's some science behind it. The study came out in 2005. And The Guardian published the study. Okay. So right away, everything's kind of falling apart.
Well, I won't say it's falling apart, but I also like that you said, well, it's something I used to do. You still speech fast before noon. When's the last time you were awake before noon?
Good point. Yeah, but I think what counts for speech fasting is actually when you're awake.
Sure.
And you're
saving
it.
So your speech fast would have to go until like 7 p.m.?
Probably.
Okay. Oh, man. Well, you are not succeeding then.
Oh, yeah, but here's the thing. I've got a lot of sound effects.
This little cowpoke's going to mosey up on out of here.
So I will just build sound effects of my voice and other things and then play it for you. Speaking of sleeping in and saving my voice too much, gentlemen, I discovered a way to record your own alarms on your phone.
What do you mean record your own alarms?
You can make your own alarms with your voice and whatnot.
Like, hey, lazy bones, get out of bed.
Absolutely. It's a secret trick, and it's annoying because I'm sure on Android, Spencer, they made it easy and intuitive to do.
Yeah.
But on your phone, you got to use GarageBand and all this other stuff. But I discovered the way. And I'm going to share that with y'all later. Plus, tickets to the Black Keys at the Moody Center. And Spencer has something secret and exciting for us. The new trailer for our hit movie, Columbo the Weather Chimp. Hang around. Coming up on Today's the Greatest, we're going to save your life once again with more health talk on the CJ Morgan Show. That's it. I'm going full guru.
Yeah,
I want to sell oils, supplements, and rub them on people. But let's talk about some other things that today is the reason for being the greatest. It's National Burrito Day.
Oh, yes!
We've done this in the past.
CJ, you brought us burritos for National Burrito Day?
I didn't.
I should know that every single time.
It's from really excited to not so excited.
To be fair, I did a burrito day at work several years ago where I had cute girls in the office eating burritos in slow-mo.
Oh.
And then I was pelting them with burritos while they were eating, and I got in trouble for the mess. So we're not doing that.
Okay. Well, we could just sit down and eat them. That's how you celebrate burritos.
We didn't have to do the video. You could have just brought burritos for Spencer and me.
Yeah.
Okay, you know what? We'll put out the call right now. Bring us burritos. Does that work?
Yeah.
Now radio does it. It's also National Cordon Bleu Day.
Oh, man.
Don't bring us Cordon Bleu.
Yeah.
In theory, it should be the most delicious thing. It's a bakey crust. It's chicken and cheese, but it's what is served at every awards banquet that's just cold.
And sad.
And
it brings shame and sadness to
like
your
plate.
Cordon
Bleu was supposed to be this nice cooking school, and basically their name has been destroyed by by hotel chefs all around the world.
And it's not even that. I don't know if you've ever had friends that have tried to make Cordon Bleu or beef Wellington or anything that is a meat and a bread. Beef Wellington, at least, like, all right, if it's a little raw, that's fine. But I don't think I've ever had a homemade chicken cordon bleu that is, unless someone bought it from Costco and put it in
that was cooked all the way through.
Yeah, that was cooked all the way through. And it's like, man, this white cheese And the little bread coating really shows the... I don't think my chicken's supposed to have red coming out of it.
Yes. Oh, no.
Oh, just a little rare, sweetie. It's fine. Eat on up. And you know
that
what I do?
That keeps it juicy.
It's good for you.
There's so much cheese and burnt bread crust that I do eat it anyway.
Yeah.
But that's why today's the greatest, and we'll discuss the reason why it will save your life coming up on the CJ Morgan Show. An orange in my belly, a lime in Matt's cup. We're preventing scurvy because it's vitamin C day. That's right. It's National Vitamin C Day, or Vitamin C, as you know. And if you were graduating around 99, 2000-ish, you'll remember that this Vitamin C song was used in... I mean, just imagine that. You're a up-and-coming indie artist, and you just decide to write a graduation song that releases in spring. It's great marketing. Is it a good song? Yeah. I don't know. But every chick had it on their MySpace profiles.
I remember some local stations here would have some like high school students come in and like say their names and their hopes and dreams and stuff.
And would play this in the
before
background.
They were playing the song. Yeah, yeah.
I forgot about that. That so many like hip hop and pop and like mix hot whatever radio stations would always have a lot of high school cheerleaders and stuff. And to me, that was always weird. I was like, why is this?
It wasn't weird at all. The number one consumer of radio used to be high school kids.
Very true. Yeah, I love so prank calling them. No, no. Well, we're vintage now, as your daughter said. But no, it's Vitamin C Day. It's the day to observe, to get in your vitamin C. And gentlemen, I don't know if you know this, but vitamin C's, turns out it's good for you.
Oh.
Your teeth, it's an antioxidant.
Wow.
It prevents scurvy on long sailing trips.
Can ward off colds, a common cold, I believe.
But the most important thing is oranges aren't, limes, lemons, grapefruits, those aren't your most important source of vitamin C.
Yeah, I remember finding out that like orange juice is, it's got vitamin C, but they're like, yeah, it's pretty mid when it comes to vitamin C.
It's not enough to really do anything. And this would be a great time if we made our own supplements to try to push them on people. But I have a list of some crap that has more vitamin C. And, you know, if you're a psychonaut and enjoy doing drugs, apparently vitamin C enhances these experiences. Mm. I don't know. I think that's probably more a placebo kind of thing. Rose hips, 119 milligrams.
Let me just hop down to the grocery store and pick up some rose hips.
Wow. That's kind of a hippie. They use that in a lot of essential oils and whatnot.
Sounds like a cool name.
Red bell peppers.
Yum.
Guava has a lot, 126 milligrams, the most on this list. Papaya at 96.
Both delicious.
Chili pepper at 109. And, you know, citrus fruits like oranges, just about 70 milligrams. So, again, it's not necessarily enough for you to get your daily vitamin C from. But do you know why we have a full day for vitamin C? Do you know why it's so important?
No.
Because millions of Americans still suffer from vitamin C deficiency.
That's why we recommend that you get Red Bull. Red Bull. Vitamin C.
It gives you wings, too.
Yeah. Oh, man, we need it. Let's just use this section to really ham for some sponsorships.
Try coffee. We put the vitamin C in coffee. You couldn't spell coffee without C.
There you go.
Let's just start putting vitamin C, convincing people that vitamin C is in weird places that it's not.
Yeah, just it's infused with vitamin C and alkalines.
When's the last time you had a delicious vitamin C-laden hamburger?
Oh, God, yes.
That's not a bad idea. So here it is. Instead of actually trying to educate people and get them healthier, let's just come up with a grift and then sell it. It works.
You mean cigarettes did that for a long time, and they used to tell people that they were healthy for them,
or
and
same
they made
as
millions off of selling healthy cigarettes.
Anything that's a part of your daily balanced breakfast, it was not at all good for you to have for breakfast.
Well, they would say it's a part of this balanced breakfast. They would show you a balanced breakfast. They would add their item to the side, and technically they were correct.
Yeah, ham, milk, cereal, bacon grease, whatever it is. Eat it with your breakfast.
12 whole oranges. There you go. You'll be fine for the day.
Just do an orange massage on someone. Just break it and start rubbing it into them.
CJ, have you ever celebrated Vitamin C Day?
I am today.
Oh, why don't you see these nuts on your chin?
I got you.
I'm sorry.
Idiot.
I had to do that.
You know what? It's been long enough. Haven't gone there. That was pretty sour. It's not Vitamin D Day, okay? That's tomorrow.
The greatest century ever, I think, is behind us.
It's time for Parent Pickup.
Welcome back to the Parent Pickup with Matt Bearden. I don't know if I said welcome back, but welcome to. Here we are, Matt, and it's all in the past.
Yeah, I'm calling the previous century the greatest century ever because it was officially the century of the lunchbox.
Okay.
I've noticed my kids don't use lunchbox. In fact, that would be, they would sooner die than carry a lunchbox to school.
Yeah,
right?
I remember if you had to do it with a paper sack for a hot minute, it was embarrassing, but then paper sacks became cool. But you're talking about back in the day, we had either cool plastic transformers or even the old school metal ones with a canteen in it.
Hell,
it was a big deal when you were in elementary school to go to Walmart or whatever, pick your new clothes, your shoes, and then also get that Trapper Keeper and lunchbox.
Yeah.
Those were the two.
I was surprised. If you had asked me when was the lunchbox invented, I would have been like, I don't know, the 1960s? Like, I don't know. Turns out I did a little research. 1920s. It's actually when the first lunchboxes came out. The metal ones, you know, with like a thermos or what have you. But they didn't take off for a long time. Until 1935, and that's when the lunchbox took off.
Was it working men that had it? Because to me, that's
the crazy thing. It was the first licensing deal with a character named, his name had been Steamboat Mickey. It was Mickey Mouse. They decided to put Mickey Mouse on these metal lunchboxes, and all of a sudden,
kids
they
gobbled
went
them up.
Crazy. Now, during the 1950s, you had the cowboy craze, so they put every cowboy in the world on the lunchboxes. During the 1960s, the kind of, you know, silver era of comic books, it was all comic book characters. And then they started all these licensing deals with television shows. The Fonz from Happy Days. I remember seeing a kid who had I just saw a thing that was like talking about lunchboxes. They had an All in the Family lunchbox.
Yeah, they had everything.
All in the Family was a show about a racist dad, his poor abused wife, and their liberal kid. It's like, what a weird thing to be taking to school when you think about it. Great show, but a weird thing to have on a lunchbox. But then every movie that came out, E.T. had lunchbox, you know, every tie-in they could possibly have. And then at some point, it all went away.
Because it became junk. They became more kind of cheap, flimsy plastic.
Plastic? You think that's what ended? They ended up kind of killing themselves?
Yeah, just by not becoming good.
Yeah, my son has like an insulated, soft-sided kind of a lunchbox. My daughter just wants to put loose food items
into
her backpack.
Yeah.
So they can roam around and be crushed. And I'm always like, the one thing is,
I do in high school.
Well, I talked her into, I started using for her and she likes it. The OG lunchboxes were actually brought to the West via the British from their time in 1800s when they kind of were bossy in India. But it's been for a long time, these metal lunchboxes for men to take. And I'm sorry, but in that culture, it was men only who were going to work and taking their food with them.
Yeah, that's the last time I used one was when I worked at the metal yard and smelter. We didn't have a refrigerator.
Right.
So you kept your drink and sandwich and chips, whatever, in your lunchbox.
Well, and I started doing research about these old school Indian lunchboxes. I found this thing. It's actually from Japan. It's like a bento box kind of thing. My daughter does kind of like that. But I was just like, she would come home and I'd be like, you didn't eat your sandwich. She was like, yeah, I got smashed. I was like, well, it got smashed.
Because it was in your backpack.
Because she refused to put it in anything.
Yeah, I used to put them in my backpack and you would sometimes forget about them. And you'd have a smashed PB&J you'd find like a week later at the very bottom.
Do you remember going
chips
at the beginning of a school year to like pick out a lunchbox?
Yeah, that's what I was saying earlier. Like that and the Trapper Keeper were big things. But
I think part of the reason there's such a nostalgic connection to that is that if you open that thing up, there was someone taking care of you inside. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like if you get down to the psychology at all, there is somebody took care of you that morning and packed the stuff away.
Sometimes wrote a note on a napkin.
Yeah. Now, this is not to throw anybody under the bus, but after my parents got divorced, the lunchbox kind of went away, and then I was given a dollar and said, I'm sorry, but you got to buy your own lunch, and Mama don't got time for
just
that.
Just in general, though, are we eating more at school, as in the school cafeteria? I was kind of on the tail end of when I graduated high school, where we started having, like, one restaurant in with the cafeteria, but now I feel like a lot of the bigger high schools have like a Chick-fil-A. They have like specific branded kind of cubby, like almost like a food court.
You know, I'm really opposed. I hate the idea. Kids should eat that same weird
square pizza,
soggy rectangle of pizza, And they should have whatever was in the chicken fried steak that's not actually steak. They should still be able to get that.
On that little tray. But is that why we don't have lunch boxes? Is because it's become such a bigger thing just to eat lunch at school?
I have one kid who has some serious food issues. So we pack his stuff every day. And he's okay. He actually doesn't care what anybody thinks of him. So he doesn't care what's on the lunch
box. See, that works. See, for me, when I got in high school, you had to get... If you didn't get a ride to lunch as a lower classman, you were a loser.
Right.
So I would hide my lunch in my bag, and I'd go find somewhere in the school where I could hide and shamefully eat.
Shame.
Or, like, try to find a ride with an upperclassman.
It's so weird how many things are attached to bizarro actions like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
it's weird.
Your whole standing in high school would be on, you know, what is packed for lunch. A thing you have no control over.
Sure.
Anyway, I just started thinking about lunch boxes when I was packing up before my kids today.
I want to get one for work. All right, Spinny and I are getting into movie making. Spencer, I'm sorry. I know I roped you into making songs about my dogs that I sing on the toilet.
It's fine.
And I talked about doing an album with you.
Hey, man, job's a job.
We did a music video, but now I'm roping you into movie trailers. Because here's what I've learned.
Yesterday was National Film Score Day, right?
Yeah.
You made an unscored movie trailer for a recurring character we've discussed. His name is Columbo.
Yeah, Columbo the chimpanzee. And you've actually, you've done this, and I'm excited to hear it. I'm excited to see what you've put my lazy, half-assed crap to work.
Oh, don't worry. I applied the same amount of effort, so...
Okay, good.
I always get nervous for these because I'm like, I want it to be good, but also I'm not spending 6 hours on it.
I agree. I feel the same. And as I'm playing things and I look over at you two and I'm like, oh, man,
yeah,
they don't like this.
We're just staring at you.
Which means the listener doesn't like. But, hey, I'm excited to hear your movie trailer for There's Something About Columbo, a story about our chimpanzee friend that does the weather. And like I said, it's a movie trailer. I learned long ago when I would try to shoot some documentaries that the better idea was just to make a trailer with all the best chunks from the documentary into a one-minute thing, and everyone will watch that.
Right.
It's great. It's awesome. So instead...
This is about a little less than 90 seconds. I hope that's okay.
Well, let's find out. There's Something About Columbo, the new movie trailer.
All right, Chicago, you keep that pep and you're stepping. People's in the streeters.
That's a wrap.
Good show, Harry. You tried.
Harry Steele is a newsman down on his luck.
I'm sorry, Harry, but if these ratings don't get better, the next station you'll be working at is the Shell on the Corner.
When a chance meeting changed his world.
Harry, we have a guest for you. This is Leslie, the director of the National Zoo.
From the makers of Bait Mate the Cosmic Space Monkey.
We were hoping to get some publicity about our new chimp display. We've even got one trained to do the weather.
A story about an unlikely friendship.
And now let's go to the weather with Columbo. Looks like a lot of clouds in the sky out there.
A storm is coming. You've what?
We let Columbo get a job doing weather on the Harry Steele Show.
You've killed us all. Don't you realize that chimp is a trained assassin and his trigger happens to be lightning?
What have I done?
When it rains, it pours.
Columbo, no! What are you doing?
This summer, get ready for a hurt wave with slight chances of pain.
From the rainforest of forecasting the rain.
Oh, Columbo!
There's Something About Columbo.
Good job. That's great. Like the drumming with the monkey cheering.
I'm actually
really happy with it. It's supposed to be really stupid, but you made that actual dumb bit entertaining. And I applaud you for that. That's a good trailer. Look at it. But again, doesn't it prove the point?
The soundtrack really absolutely
it makes
sounds
the
like
entire thing.
Completely
the,
does.
The sound design takes something dumb and not funny and turns it into like actual
magic.
Magic. It really does. It proved our point from what was yesterday again? A film score day. Like, look at that. You scored the trailer and it's way better than the version before. I don't even want to get back to the version before because that's so good. But it makes me laugh. I'm happy.
Thank you.
Well done, Spencer.
We did it.
You picked up on the trailer cues too. The da 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 da.
By the way, Spencer, as a result of you doing quality work, we will not be releasing Columbo the chimpanzee on your face this afternoon.
Thank you.
He'll stay in his cage where I randomly electrocute him with a little cattle prod.
Ready for the next show.
That's where he belongs. It's he's dangerous.
as you heard in the trailer. But yeah, well done. That, you know what sucks is you did such a good job. Now I'm going to come up with other dumb movie trailers and fake commercials and ideas. Man, but the only thing it was missing in movie trailers these days, and I bet you thought about this, is, but you know how they take like a classic song and they'll play the slower
drum. I did. I thought about some Ramones or something to keep it more like in line with the state. I don't know. I just didn't feel like putting that much effort into it.
Hey, it worked, and I look forward to Columbo the Monkey coming out in 2025.
What are you doing?
This summer, get ready for a hurt wave with slight chances of pain.
The rainforest of forecasting the rain.
Oh, Columbo!
There's something about Columbo.
Kind of excited. We've settled on a spot to hit the beach in the summer, and that spot will be Surfside, kind of outside of Lake Jackson. You go through Houston to get there. Thoroughly enjoy Surfside. Last couple times I've been to other beaches, there's been tar balls, there's been little stingy jellyfish. But I do realize every time I've been to Surfside, I've almost gotten in a fight.
Really?
So maybe that's not a good beach spot to go.
With strangers or someone in your group?
I mean, with strangers. Like, it's just... It's a little wilder down there.
Can you tell us the last fight you almost got into, or...
I can. My current, now fiance, I mean, we were just dating then. We went to Surfside, had fun. We were at one of those beachside balcony restaurants, and we're hanging out and eating, and this, like, real drunk group comes up, and it's a bunch of women, and they're waiting on their table, and there's one guy with them, and he's just, like, hammered, and he's messing with the hostess, and I get the vibe that the hostess knows him, but then he spills his beer all over her thing, all over the, like, you know, the waiting tables list of who, where to set who to call at what time for the reservation. And I'd had enough. It was annoying me. And listen, this isn't a story about me standing up for what's right. This is a story about me not just chilling out and keeping my mouth shut.
It's a story about you butting into somebody else's business.
Absolutely,
also waited table. You worked in the restaurant industry.
And finally,
so I guess
that dude pissed me off. And I was like, hey, man, can you just chill the F out? Like, we're trying to eat, and you're up here acting like a jackass. And he mouthed with me. I mouthed with him. And, like, it pissed my girlfriend off. She was mad. And she's like, I don't understand why you do that. Like, we're trying to, like, she took it as me losing my temper.
That's what it sounds like.
Yeah. Well, I did get a bit of justification because then, like, one of the servers and then later the hostess were like, hey, thanks for doing that. That guy's a jackass. Like, he comes here a lot.
Right.
And so it made me, so then that was worse because at first I was feeling bad about it, especially once you lose your temper and the wind down happens.
Right. That
you
adrenaline.
Feel guilty.
Yeah. Right. But
and my girlfriend's mad at me, but then when I get confirmation that I did the right thing.
Well, how about this, the in-between. Did you ever work as a bouncer anywhere?
Where
you had training, I guess I should say.
No, no, no.
Because they always
take
tell you...
Take it outside.
No, they always tell you that the last thing you want to do as a bouncer is to flex and be like, bro, you're going to get the F out of here, because that only puts somebody into the defense and it heightens stuff. Really good bouncers can get somebody out of the room without ever even touching them.
Yeah, they de-escalate the situation.
And
that's what you're supposed to do.
It's basically turning around and going, hey, jackass, what's your effing problem? Is not good de-escalation skills.
Know that? Absolutely. And I've been in situations where being like kind of calm, mainly not maybe where I'm in as much trouble, but where there's about to be a fight that could get worse or something like that. You know, usually, being calm, being assertive, but calm really helps. Didn't work there. She was mad. And then after, like,
once the hostess was like, thanks for doing that, did you rub that in your girlfriend's face? You're like, honey, I was right.
Kinda, yeah.
We
both calmed down, and later that night, you know, we went down to the little karaoke bar.
Oh, that's a good place for a fight.
Right under, like, the restaurant. It's like a little under the deck, under the boardwalk kind of area. Yeah. And I see the girls he was with walk in, and then I see him walk in. I'm like, oh, crap. Because I'd already started thinking, it's like, he's clearly a local.
Right.
And, like, we're staying here. It's like, this could be a dangerous situation if he gets drunk, goes back. And I was like, I'm going to go talk to him. She's like, do not go talk to him. But this is also where I don't know if I butted in or just stayed out. But he was by the bar, and I walk up, and I put my hand on his shoulder. I was like, hey, man, let me buy you a beer. Sorry about earlier. And she was worried it was going to turn into a fight, but I guess the women he was with, one of them was his sister, and they had already been on his ass about causing a scene. So I buy him a beer, and I apologize. And then he apologizes to me, and he's like, I'm really sorry I ruined your nice dinner.
Dude, it's the one thing is that guys...
And it ended up working out.
Because guys are so different after a fight. It's like guys really generally go, oh, hey, bro, I'll lie. Yeah, me too. What's up? And then that ends up kind of being your weird buddy for
it's
a day.
It's like we're friends, yeah.
We're weird.
Yeah. But then the problem where I got in trouble after that is because... he obviously kept drinking and had already been drinking all day. Was then once I was nice and we kind of talked and I bought him a beer, then he wanted to be buddies with us.
Right.
Oh, then he kept joining us and like hanging out. And I went up and sang some karaoke songs with his like older sister and her friends. And then he came and sat next to my girlfriend. And she's like, why do you like stop bringing these people into our orbit? Like, just keep to yourself and it won't happen. So maybe the lesson of all this is not that I need to not go to Lake Jackson or Surfside because I'm going to get in a fight. The lesson is I need to just keep to myself.
Yeah,
mind my business.
I think the lesson here is you keep trying to convince yourself that you and your fiance need to go on another, like, cheap Texas Riviera trip, and I'm thinking maybe not.
Maybe the problem's me. maybe that's it right there. You might have heard of fasting and cold plunges. But did you know the latest health trend to come to Austin? It's called breathing. Yeah, breathing makes you healthy, Matt.
I guess so. I guess it... Well, no, I think it's directed breathing that makes you... And it's not so much physical health as it is your mental awareness and wellness or something. Look, I was tooling around on something called Instagram. You guys heard of this thing?
You heard this? You seen this?
Yeah. And I found this ad that got served up in my For Me or whatever. I don't know. I was searching around. And this came up, and I was like, wait, what is this? And it was about a thing that's coming to a hotel here. I talked about it on my other show, too. And I think it piqued your interest over here. It's a guy who leads you through the fastest-growing self-healing modality in the U.S. And it's built around breath work. It's called Witality. His name is Witalij. And... he says that after his workshop...
Another one of those Dutchmen trying to trick us into something.
I think he's Polish, actually.
Oh, okay. Ooh,
and I think he says that after you go to his breathing workshop, you'll feel emotional lightness, a boost of energy, relief from psychosomatic symptoms, mental clarity, realization of goals, decreased inflammation, confidence about your own path. It just goes on and on. You apparently get a whole lot from breathing.
Okay. And there's... testimonials of people crying, saying how amazing it was, how good they feel. And, you know, you learn early on, anytime you do meditation or yoga or anything, like breathing is important. They'll even tell you if you're in a stressed out situation, sometimes you tend to hold your breath and it's like, hey, breathe, deep breath.
Yeah, shallow breaths aren't good. There's less oxygen going to the brain. In fact, helping your like deep belly breaths can help you with anxiety if you just do that 5 minutes.
Yeah, it gives your brain more oxygen. Uh-huh. And makes you feel better, but...
Unless you just sort of, like, stop thinking about what's making you anxious a little bit. You're like, oh, I got to focus on this big-ass belly.
Focus on my breathing.
Mm-hmm.
But...
yeah, I don't know. This strikes me as a... I think the old-fashioned word is hokum.
Yeah, one of them, it's in a hotel conference room, and it's expensive.
Well, you've got to have a space to do it. I understand that. But
here's the thing. It's like, are they charging for this? This is stuff you can do at your house by yourself.
Are they charging you $150 a person? Is that what you're asking?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
They are.
You can do the early bird special at $120.
Oh, do they have breakfast?
Or you can do the last call at $160.
Yeah, your breakfast is oxygen.
Yeah.
Just breathe in some air. You know what it is, though? We talked about getting oxygen into your brain and how good that feels. That's not why this feels good. I've been listening to some of this and looking into it more, and I figured it out because it's a bunch of like hippy dippy oil chicks and crystals that are into it. It's the greatest way to get high. That's all it is. It's the pass out game. When you were a kid, when I was a kid and a little rat in Amarillo, we didn't know what drugs, we didn't have whippets.
Right.
Instead, we took deep breaths, stood up, covered your neck with your own hands until you were on the verge of passing out. And it was the greatest 30 second. I don't think DMT, LSD, anything can take you to this level of high that that you get when you just starve yourself of oxygen and hold your neck.
You do get a weird kind of sense. You get some weird dreams and some weird thing where you're like, I don't think I'm asleep. I don't think I'm awake. I don't know where I am.
For like 15 seconds. It's pretty rad. That's what this is.
They do admit that a lot of this is about hypoxia and kind of starving yourself of oxygen.
And blood, yes.
And then forcing extra oxygen into your blood. So, yeah, it could be some of that. Maybe that's what people are feeling. But I got to say,
it's the death of millions of blood cells and the cosmic high it creates doing that.
I don't know about that part. I'm not a scientist, but I will say this. My buddy Mike used to do this with me all the time, and we never charge each other this kind of dough.
No, it's free. In fact, if you're going to pay that kind of money, go outside a Widespread Panic show and look for the dude with the nitrous oxide tank.
I was going to say, CJ, what size belt do you recommend for wrapping around your neck?
Just use your hands. Here's the thing. You don't want to use any kind of device because you don't want to actually pass out, trip, fall, and then you're dead.
And then you die.
That's how David Carradine, right?
Yeah, you don't want to do that in any sense or sort of way. Just your own two hands. Make sure you got a wall you're leaned up against. Dude, there was a time, I remember we went to a friend's lake trailer house. They called it a lake house, but it was a trailer house next to a swamp. But, you know, the parents are all playing cards, hanging out, watching TV. We go out into the cornrows near Lake Greenbelt in Clarendon, Texas. Stars are out. It's beautiful. And that's what the kids were doing is we were playing the pass out game. Even though we weren't pass out, we were just getting ourselves high off. Breathe, 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 suck it in, hold it. And the thing is you're chasing the dragon. It never gets to that first intense high you have, and then you're just choking yourself forever. But it's great, though.
Well, you never stop choking yourself. There's just a different part of the body, right?
Pretty much.
Spencer.
Also, never the same as the first time. James from the Austin Chronicle's joining us, and I want to start right off by saying, kind of mad at you guys, and I got some beef, James. And did you know you were being sent here to defend your paper?
I mean, I feel every time I come in here, I assume that is the case.
Okay, good.
That's a really good answer. Don't worry, James. I'm here to hold CJ back at any point.
Last time James was in and we talked about the voting, which is what we're here for, is the nominations for the Best of Austin. Last time, I purposely did not want to look or know, and he spoiled to me that I was nominated, a finalist.
Oh, and that's your beef?
For best, we'll get to that.
Okay.
It was one of those, like, I got real happy, but then it made me sad kind of thing.
Yeah, roller coaster.
I was like, oh, man, we're just supposed to do a happy interview here.
James, guess what? Try working with him every day.
I don't.
All media industries are filled with crazies, aren't we all?
That is true.
All right, good. As long as we're in agreement there.
Yes. Especially us legacy media types and print and news and radio. I get it. But let's start with that from last year, my first beef.
Yeah, please.
Why didn't I win?
Yeah, what happened, James?
And why didn't you win?
Yeah what's
I
up
mean,
there,
I think
bro?
You know the answer to that question.
What is the answer?
Well, just let me see the insider info. Is it because my dad voted for me and he doesn't live in Austin?
You don't have to live in Austin to vote.
Not like the president or
Okay, well...
It's like the president? So we can vote two or three times?
We do look for repeat votes, but basically we have no way of really knowing where they're voting from.
Right.
Okay, him and I jokingly gave each other crap about that, because he voted for me.
Told him that he got you canceled out?
Yeah, I was like, Dad, you can't do that.
Call him tonight and say, I talked to James, and it turns out yours vote really did get me thrown out of here.
Yeah. Because I don't want to know the real answer, which is enough people didn't vote.
I think the answer, the reason you didn't win, may be because you didn't have the most votes. I don't know, but I think that's kind of...
And I don't want to spoil it, but he's right.
Hey, I'm a genius.
I don't know if y'all pay attention, but that doesn't matter. I should have won. That's the damn thing. Next point of contention, and this one really is real. I noticed in the nomination category, you have you have your best TV news anchor, you have your best columnist, you have best radio show, and then you have nomination for best radio host or podcaster.
Yeah, we wanted to make it even harder for you to win.
Well, it's not about that. It's
it is about
why,
that.
Why don't you
That's
have
exactly why we did it?
Why don't you have TV reporter with best TikToker or news anchor with best YouTuber or columnist with best local blogger? Don't associate this craft and artistry that Orson Welles founded.
Hey man, there's some
with podcasters.
This is pretty good podcast.
Orson Welles. I love that. CJ Orson Welles.
It's not Guglielmo Marconi.
By that he means size wise. Orson Welles size.
How close to death he might be.
He used to be able to outdrink Orson as well. So
I did play him on stage once just for all these qualities, and it was pretty great. And that's where I learned in the magic of theater. You can really smoke and chug a bottle of wine on stage in TABC and whatever laws don't apply because it's theater. Okay.
Sure.
But why are we combining podcasters? Everyone has a podcast. I don't want to lose to an evil Mopac meme account.
What if you lose to like the CEO of QuickBooks, who probably had, because every CEO has a podcast now?
Yeah.
What if that's who you lose to is the CEO of Serious Logic? Are you going to be okay with that?
I think you're overestimating the popularity of these little podcasts. Who?
What about this? We really work to get everyone to vote for Joe Rogan, so then everyone at the Chronicle's like, oh, God damn it.
Believe me, there have definitely been some winners that we have
kind of been like not again.
I mean, it's pretty undeniable.
And now to go back to my last beef with the old school. Yeah, they're like, oh, no, this dude always bitches and cry. Like, he's so... And then it's the double knife, the double-edged sword. If I win, I'm like, I'm not good enough and sad. And if I don't win, I'm like, I suck. I never win anything. But
this is why we do it.
This is the frustrating thing with me. And this just goes in with a lot of my strange idiosyncrasies. And again, you can put your nominations for the Best of Austin now. Is it austinchronicle.com/vote?
It's actually the other one, vote.austinchronicle.com.
We're hanging out with James from the Austin Chronicle. Vote.austinchronicle.com and nominate all your favorite things in Austin. Maybe even your favorite radio show. Y'all recently moved buildings. You were down on I-35, yep. And they're knocking that down. And y'all did a time capsule, which I think is rad.
We did.
Were you there when everyone busted it open?
I was there.
Two things. I noticed in all the images and print, the 101X stickers aren't put out anywhere, which doesn't bother me. That's okay. But the thing is why did y'all put it in a plastic bag? Apparently, when all the trinkets were pulled out, it was all old newspapers and clippings, and they were all wet.
Dude, this was pre Y2K.
Okay.
Why anyone was doing anything is beyond me. Like,
okay,
there were a lot of questionable choices about like what was in it. Plus, it was like 1999. It was not that long ago that it felt super interesting. It was really just a reunion of old Chronicle people.
Yeah, yeah.
That came back, and that was really the only reason.
One okay, of the there's my picture.
But we opened it up, and we were just kind of like, okay, this is kind of anti-cut, because they were banging away at that floor for like
an hour and a half. It was like
the jackhammer and sledgehammers.
So stoked to get in there. And
we thought it was going to be like 5 minutes and they'll just like break it. It'll just smash right open and we'll open it up and it'll be a party.
I mean,
people were standing around watching them hit this thing for, seriously, I think it was about an hour and a half.
That's the dang thing with it, because, you know, our coworker Andy Langer and a few other people that had worked for the Chronicle were there for this reunion. And to me, it was like the Geraldo Al Capone vault where I kept thinking like they're like, and it had like really nice, like a mosaic tile on top of it. Yeah. And I was like, oh, this is going to be cool. There's going to be Stevie Ray Vaughan's like neck of a broken guitar with some string on. Like, there's going to be some crazy stuff that like Margaret Mosier hid in there. Like, there's going to be something magic.
All that
and
stuff,
it was a wet bag of newspapers.
And all that cool stuff got stolen from the previous office that was over behind the Taco Bell near campus. Like, that's where that stuff would have gotten. People would have gotten really, really. They'd have taken a lot of acid and stolen that long before it got to the next Chronicle office, I think.
Fair enough.
That's a reasonable.
And to be fair, one time I went to the new Chronicle offices and I bought all the headshots that had been sent to them from any kind of band or anything. I bought probably 2,000 headshots for $20 one time. You guys were having a garage sale. That's how I decorated my whole apartment, and it was pretty awesome for a while.
Looked like a comedy club. I like that. My dad, ten years ago, had discovered a time capsule I buried in our house, and he was pissed because he was rototilling the garden, and I'd put like a metal lockbox. And he hit it with the tiller, and so it broke his machinery, and then it just ground everything, like this metal cheap whatever I could buy as elementary, and he was so pissed that he hit this long box. So I want to do a new time capsule, I guess.
People right now, are you looking for nominations? Are you looking for votes on those nominations?
Yes, this is round one.
Round one.
So, yes, this is the write-in category. This one's a little bit more of a heavy lift for people because you got to know
what you're...
Your best tattoo shop, all these things.
But this is a great place, too, if you want to get the word out about a favorite business you have in town or somebody's working really hard and you want them to get the nod. Yes. It's a great time to get involved in this because just getting that in there in the nomination, if there's just a couple other people that do the same thing, a lot of times I can pop somebody's name up there. And even if they don't win overall, it will put the name of their business or, like you said, a tattoo shop.
Yeah, in reality, it's cool to have it in there.
And it's a great way to build young businesses.
And you can write in... One, just a few, you know, it's not a BuzzFeed quiz. You can do a few and then you're done. But we do encourage you, pop around. You know, you don't have to fill out the entire thing if you don't know every answer, but
no one,
pop around,
There is not a single human being who could fill out every category.
There probably is.
And his name's Andy Langer again.
Oh, I was going to say, it's probably some South Austinite lady.
I would be interested to know if we have anyone that has voted in every
category.
But perhaps. If you vote for in 30 or more... You get a chance to win Austin FC tickets.
Okay. Oh, nice. So,
there you go.
Only problem, go for 30.
Problem with that is they're wet because they were in that bag.
Did you know?
Some of the original pacemakers, which keeps your heart beating, were nuclear powered. That's right. They contained a tiny amount of plutonium encased in epoxy and titanium. And that was to hopefully resist anything happening to it. Gunshots, cremation, water. In 2003, about 50 people alive still had them. If a coroner or you find one, please take it to Los Alamos for disposal. Don't just throw it in the lake.
Could it hurt me to have plutonium inside my body? I mean, I understand that the pacemaker is going to keep going, but will it only go until I die of cancer?
Listen, you're going to die anyway. If you have a radioactive pacemaker, I feel like your ticker's more the problem than the actual thing. Right.
Did you know?
Oh.
During the opening ceremony of the Ottawa International Airport, I'm sure you guys are familiar with the Ottawa International Airport.
Sure.
Everybody loves hanging out there. Well, when their airport opened its new terminal in 1959, a United States Air Force F-104 Starfighter was invited to do a supersonic fly past, right? You know what I mean? Like, everybody's there. They're cutting ribbons. And like, oh, let's have this huge plane fly by and buzz the tower and all that. Unfortunately, there was a resulting sonic boom. And they were opening the brand new terminal. Blew out every window. Every window shattered. Did significant structural damage.
Because it was so low when the sonic boom happened. Like, that's
It delayed
insane.
The opening by more than a year.
Damn.
They literally
awesome.
Had a party to open.
Sonic
they had
boom.
Everybody was about to fly, start flying from there.
Dude.
They blew up the airport with a boom.
That's a party you remember forever. Did you know? I got a couple quick ones. This one is about carbon dioxide. You guys heard of this? It's heard of carbon dioxide. Did you know too much carbon dioxide in a crowded room can make you dumber?
Is that why? Because we're a talk radio show and it's just,
think so.
Just filled with hot air?
This one is about WD-40. You guys heard of this? Did you know the secret formula for WD-40 is stored in a bank vault and has only left it twice? Once on its 50th birthday when the CEO of WD-40 rode through Times Square on a horse with a suit of armor on and had the formula in his hand.
No, not bad.
They do not tell us when the second time was.
But it had to be soon after.
Probably.
On his way back, actually. That's why it's so anticlimactic. Did you know? You ever had a project with you know, group work and things just don't get done? That happened in one of the Avengers movies. They didn't have a headshot for Paul Rudd, and they needed a photograph of him to show that Scott Lang was part of the blip that disappeared. So they just, I guess the editors just pulled one, did you know, from his IMDb. So the photos they use of him to show that he's missing or blipped or whatever in the Avengers came from IMDb instead of Marvel Studios or whatever.
That's what a lot of local stand-up shows will do. They'll just pull people's like pictures from their Facebooks.
30 years ago,
headshots,
I've done the same thing at the radio station. I've had to put stuff together, and I'm like, I can't get him to take a photo, so I'll just... Facebook profile pic it is.
Did you know? Perhaps you'd recognize her Facebook profile pic. You guys know who Bea Arthur is, the actress?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I believe she's passed now. She was on the Golden Girls.
She was.
Golden Girls hasn't been on television, I think, in 100 years. But I know they made kind of a cool comeback in an ironic way on T-shirts and stuff like that. Some people are back into the Golden Girls.
Well, Bea Arthur, it's ironic.
Guess what? She enlisted in the Marines in 1943. Dude, in World War II, she was one of the very first members of the Women's Reserve. She spent time as a truck driver, which I think is kind of badass.
Yeah, dude.
You didn't know anything else?
Oh, me?
Yeah.
Did you know?
Mine's about Napoleon, so I can't use it because I'll go on forever.
Sorry, I got...
So we got
a... I had a big brain fart there.
Did you forget that we were doing this around the circle?
Yeah, I forgot.
Did you know?
We'd been doing it too long and breathing, and he sucked in all that carbon dioxide.
That's what happened.
Did you know? The Queen is above the law and cannot be charged civilly or criminally.
Oh yeah. Freddie Mercury.
Good job, Queen.
It's the CJ Morgan Show. 101X.